God, you're so good. You're so good and you're so here. You are ever present. You never sleep. Lord, and this morning, I just really pray. And I know, God, I know that you want to stir a hope in our spirit. Lord, I know that you want to do a new thing. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you do have a massive plan. Lord, and when we stay in step with you, you feed us, you lead us, you have the best for us. And of course, we all know because we've lived it, that doesn't mean we have a perfect life, but it means that we have a life lived with you, and that's extraordinary. Lord God, because it doesn't matter what is thrown at us, we still stand because we are yours. Lord, we can still have a hope, we can still have a peace because we are yours. We can still have joy, Lord God, because we are yours. So Lord, we commit this time to you. Have your way with us, Lord. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. We had a great time on New Year's Eve. It was so fun. I managed to stay up till 2 o'clock, which was a miracle. And I paid for it for 2 days. That's what happens when you get past, 30? It's like, I can't stay up. So I paid for that for 2 days, but it was lots of fun, and it was a great night. And an exciting sense that God has got, well, he's always got good things in store, but a sense that he's got extra good things in store for us. Last week, well, I read out a scripture, and I had it in my own handwriting, and I didn't read it properly, but I want to read it again this morning. It talks about having a beautiful life. So it's from Psalm 112, verses 1 to 9, and this is what it says. And you should have, when you came in the door, received a little slip of paper with the scripture on it. If you didn't, I'm sorry, they're all gone, but just take note, it's the Message version. It says, "Hallelujah, blessed man, blessed woman who fear God, who cherish and relish his commandments, their children robust on the earth, in the homes of the upright, how blessed. Their houses brim with wealth, and a generosity that never runs dry. Sunrise breaks through the darkness for good people. God's grace and mercy and justice. The good person is generous and lends lavishly. No shuffling or stumbling around for this one, but a sterling and solid and lasting reputation. Unfazed by rumor and gossip, heart ready, trusting God. Spirit firm, unperturbed, ever blessed, relaxed among enemies. They lavish gifts on the poor, a generosity that goes on and on and on, an honored life, a beautiful life." And when I read this scripture, and I had heard it before, but when I read it afresh, just a hope stirred in my spirit, and an excitement and a passion for life, because this is the life that he has for us. This is it. And to be perfectly honest, what led to me seeking out that scripture, because I went looking for it, was the fact that I'd been, as you do, a moment of honesty, I'd been having a look on Facebook and gone onto Instagram, and look, I'm not a crazy stalker, I was just looking at photos of people I didn't know. It's all normal. They were kind of ministry sites, you know, people who put their photos to look at. Anywho, it all looked really perfect, and it all looked so lovely, and they were so beautiful and passionate, and I started to compare myself, and suddenly I was looking at their beautiful life, and my life just started to look ugly. You know how you do that when you compare? You're so focused on how good they look, you're like, man, how can I ever have a life like that? And you start to compare, and all you can see are little bits of ugliness in your own life. And that's the awful thing about comparisons, is that's what it does. It doesn't do any good. And so I sat for a moment, and I'd had my kind of moment of weakness, and then I had a moment of maturity, and I thought, Amanda, you can either capture this and celebrate their beautiful life, and then celebrate your own life, warts and all, and choose to actually live out your beautiful life, or you can sit comparing yourself to another person's life, which of course is pointless, as we all know. So I did that, and I came away, and I just had some time with God, and I said, you know, I wanted to really think about what was my beautiful life, and what did that actually look like in my life? What did it look like with my relationship with Jesus, with Lloyd, with the kids? What did I want that to be? What was it already? What was the beauty that was already there? But how did I want to grow? And so I had this time with him, and afterwards, of course, there was hope that had been stirred in my spirit, and I'd shifted from feeling to just praising God for the goodness that was in our lives. And it's so funny, isn't it, how that can happen in a moment, how we can have a moment of weakness and the devil kind of sneaks in and goes, look at that, and then look at you. You know, that moment of weakness where he can get into our thoughts. And that's why, of course, we need to capture every thought and compare it with the Word of God, not with somebody else, and allow that truth to come alive in us. And so I went through, and I'll share a little bit of my list with you. But what do I value? What makes my life beautiful? What do I want to make room for? I want to be a person who takes time. And, of course, we can all lead very busy lives, but I want to be able to breathe, to actually focus in on a conversation rather than looking over someone's shoulder. Well, I do that in the coffee break. I blame that on Olivia, okay? Because I do. But in the season I'm in, sometimes that's what happens. But I want to be a person who takes time and actually hears. And that includes actually hearing my children. You know, so often they can tell you something 10 times and you just don't hear it for some reason, and they're like, Mum, I told you that 5 days ago 10 times and I've not listened. I want to take time. I like a good cup of coffee. I like eating out. These are all very carnal. It does get more spiritual as the list goes down. I like going to the movies. I actually want to go to the movies more. You know, simple things that we enjoy that refresh our soul and our spirit, just little things. I want to see the best in people. I want to be a good listener. I want to laugh with my family. There is nothing better than laughing with your children, is there? It just changes the mood of your home, changes the atmosphere. I want to be more patient. And, of course, I want to have all the fruit of the Spirit in my life. I want to have my house in order and be healthy. And I want to live a life that's convinced of God's goodness and just have a real freedom and rejoicing and be confident in that and to live a passionate and authentic life with Jesus. Quite a long list, but not really. But I won't bore you with too much more. I want to bring out the best in Lloyd and our children, not the worst. I want to pursue my call and continually learn and grow. And I want to live loved. You know, I live loved by God so that I can look at another person's life and not feel that it's robbing me. That in actual fact, I can celebrate their success because God is good in my own life and I'm acknowledging that. Because that's what comparisons do. They actually rob us and they rob them. So living loved enables us to love well because we're not continually comparing and feeling ripped off. Because in actual fact, there's nothing to feel ripped off about. The devil just wants us to waste our lives looking at other people rather than looking at Jesus. So that was kind of my process of, you know, what is a beautiful life? What is my beautiful life? Men, you can use the word honored because beautiful might seem a little too fluffy, but there is beauty everywhere, an honored life, a beautiful life. What does that look like for you? And really, there's no better time to think about this than now. And of course, we don't need a new year to think through these things. The scripture on your bulletin, 2 Corinthians 5:17, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. We are a new creation. We just have to live that out. And oftentimes that's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of getting over ourselves. It's keeping very short accounts with God. But the new is here. We can be sure of that because we're a new creation in Christ. Proverbs 13 verse 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. See, when we focus too much on others and what we don't have, we just get a sick heart. We lose our vision for our own lives and we kind of just muddle around not going very far at all. We've got to have a vision. We've got to have a goal. And we've got to be able to dream. And we've got to make room in our lives to dream. And that can be really hard because a lot of it, and I'm speaking from personal experience, sometimes it's just, let's just survive each day. Let's just get through today and then we'll get to tomorrow. And you know, there are times when that's okay. It's like the manna. You know, there is enough for each day. And I think, of course, we've got to balance this out wisely between, yep, we've got to have goals and visions. God actually wants us to stay present in today without, you know, failing to live in the present. So, you know, we wisely balance these things up. Plans, vision, living today, he's provided for today, not holding on because we're afraid of letting go. All of that, that's our journey with him, isn't it? He just speaks to us, he grows us. But we do need to have a dream and a vision, or else we're going to get a sick heart. Solomon speaks of this in Proverbs 24, 30 to 34. He says, I went past the field of the sluggard, past the vineyard of the man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. It doesn't take weeds long to grow, does it? And a garden is quickly overtaken if it's not tended to. A house that's not lived in quickly goes to ruin. It's a bit like us, if we don't have a life within us, the Spirit of God, if we're not being Spirit-led and Spirit-fed, then our house can be empty. We had a trip out to Glenbrook this week and visited Andy Braxma, who is a brave man, but he's a man with a vision and a man with a plan. And he has bought this beautiful property on Glenbrook Beach, and it's big, and it's got so much potential. And but it's got a house on there that hasn't been lived in over 20 years. And so you can just imagine the state of the house. The house is full of mold. It's full of dust and probably all kinds of living creatures that I'm sure that he's gotten rid of or are still leaving. And outside, things have grown up that shouldn't have been there. There are weeds. There are out-of-control plants. But Andy has chosen to see potential and to have a dream and bring something back to life. And that's the incredible thing. I think a garden that's left untended will grow all kinds of things. And it's that much harder to clear out. Like Andy, thank goodness he's such a strong guy, and he does have a vision and a plan. But if he didn't, it would be very easy to be overwhelmed. And that's what it's like with our hearts. If we let weeds get in, if we don't tend to the garden of our soul, then they're going to get overrun. And the wall, what is it? So Solomon says, and the stone wall was in ruins. It says again in Proverbs, just let me check, yep, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. If we don't tend to the garden of our soul, if we don't weed out and examine ourselves, then we're just going to get, you know, these horrible weeds of bitterness and unforgiveness and things growing there that suffocate the life out. And that's what Solomon was describing, the picture of that garden that full of weeds. That's a sick heart. And probably for all of us, we've allowed that to happen at times, and we have to be very vigilant to not let seeds of bitterness take root and grow. And that keeping short accounts with God to make sure that we are living the life that he's called us to live, which is free from all that, I guess, stuff that we just don't need. It's asking ourselves, are we quick to judge and slow to forgive? Do we speak first and think later? Is our home a reflection of our heart and just out of control? All of these things actually matter because it's tending to the garden of our soul. And of course, our lives reflect the condition of our soul and the condition of our heart. It's been committed to clearing our own patch, if you like. There's a lot of gardening speak in this. It's forgiving and asking for forgiveness. It's dreaming and planning and pondering. Solomon said, I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. That's just taking time to reflect. He just took the time to reflect on what he saw. And oftentimes we can look around and get a picture from most things that we see. Because God's speaking to us all the time from creation, from what we might hear on the radio to conversations that we'll have, God is speaking. And the question is, are we going to take the time to ponder and learn from what we see and then apply that to our heart as a lesson and then, of course, to activate it in our lives? Because we can ponder, we can dream. And like Lloyd shared last week, that can go nowhere. We can just be a big dreamer. God actually wants us to put our dreams into motion and do something about what he's speaking to us about. It's about drawing aside, and tending to the garden of our soul. And it's also seeing and recognizing, of course, the beauty that already exists and acknowledging him and thanking him for all that he's given us, all that he's doing. It's a lifestyle that's been ordained by God. In Genesis 2:15, God gave man this mandate. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. If we don't tend to the garden, it just soon becomes a ruin. Talking to Sarah, our resident gardener, and she said last time they went on holiday, it was only about 10 days, but she came back and her garden had just been overtaken by weeds and it was dry, or perhaps there'd been too much rain. Can't remember exactly, but her garden was in ruin. And it had taken such a short time for it to get out of control. So this year, she had organised someone to water her garden, and I think she'd even come back from holiday to check on her garden so that it wouldn't be in ruins by the time that she got back. But it's like that with our souls. We can't check out. We can't take a holiday because things will grow that shouldn't be there. And that's just keeping on pressing into God. It's living that beautiful life. Gungor sings a song and he says, God makes beautiful things out of the dirt. And he does. He takes our life and he makes something beautiful. But we have to play a big part in that as we press into him. I've got 5 thoughts to living that beautiful and honoured life. And of course, undergirding and surrounding that is being spirit-led and being spirit-fed. But they are these. They're all the P's today. Ponder, plough, plant, produce, prune, and pursue, and repeat the cycle. And then no doubt we're going to have to do things in a different order as well, as we're presented with different things. But I just wanted to run through those things now with all of us together. So the first is ponder, dream. Ask the question, what is my beautiful life? What do I actually want my relationship with Jesus to look like? What kind of words do I want to have coming out of my mouth? Words of life? What do I want my marriage to look like? What do I want my relationship with my kids to look like? My friendships? What kind of friend do I want to be? What am I doing about the call that God's placed on my life? What is my career? What do I want to do? What goals do I actually want to set and achieve in regards to my career? And what kind of lifestyle do I want to lead? Number 2 is plow, and that's examining our heart. Psalm 139:23-24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is anything offensive, see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We have to be pliable, don't we? And we have that image of being clay on the potter's wheel. It's all about being molded and shaped by him into something beautiful. And it's having people in our lives who we can receive with lots of other Waiukians. And just across from the town square, and a couple of people started fighting. And so you can kind of hear those voices, two guys, voices being raised. And I looked over, and my natural instinct, if I ever hear anyone fighting, is to run. I'm like, I have to get out of here as quickly as possible. I'm just going to walk right in and get into the shop. And that's my natural instinct. And then I thought, actually, you need to stand and you need to face it and you just need to pray. And so I turned around and just, there was a real peace. They managed to, not work it out, but one of them walked off. So it didn't turn anything into anything massive. but it's learning not to be intimidated. And I think that's key. And of course, that's kind of a metaphorical example, but it's learning not to allow things to intimidate us and to cower away. But in actual fact, we've been called to have a firm spirit and to stand firm. And we're standing on a rock. We are standing on Jesus. So it's learning to live like we are and not to run and not to hide, but to really stand and to pray and to fight. And that is, you know, my little example from the street just taught me, you know, in the spiritual realm, Amanda, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand and to pray and not to cower and to be afraid, because we're walking with him and he is a rock and we're standing on a rock, and therefore we can stand. Again, of course, another one with plowing is when we're kind of unearthing stuff, it's learning not to take offense, because offense is the bait of Satan. And if he can just get us all offended with each other, he has got a really doing a good job of allowing those weeds to kind of suffocate the sweetness and the vulnerableness that God wants to keep well and alive in our heart, because without that we can't really love like he loves. And so it's not allowing bitterness to take root or offense to take root, and allowing those trusted people to speak honestly into your life and allowing their wisdom and experience and sight to grow us. That's the purpose, and that's why God puts us together to do this. I had an email this week which had a set of questions that I've included on that little sheet that I gave you, and they're questions from Dr. Lois Burkett, and they're just questions that we can ask ourselves and take the time. And also the last one is, what is God's word for you in 2014? And again, that just goes back to being spirit-led and spirit-fed. What is he saying? What is his word for me? And what are the things that he wants me to pursue this year? And I think as well, we need to remember about that plowing is that it's probably going to unearth some things that we want to keep buried. You know, we just want to act like they've not actually been brought up. But we can trust God, because he is so good. And he will bring about freedom and rejoicing in our lives when we just deal with this stuff and not let it kind of take hold. Number three is plant. Begin to sow and plant your dream seeds, and take the first seemingly small step to whatever God is calling you to, that God-sized dream. I remember talking with Mum a few years ago, and I've probably shared this with you before, but Mum and I were walking together, and it was a long time ago. Early years of our marriage. And I was talking to Mum, and I said, hey, I just don't think that Lloyd and I are going to work. Can't really see how can this work, basically. And of course, it was in a time where we were just fighting a lot and carry on. And Mum said to me, very simply, she said, Amanda, how about you just start by being nice to him? And it's really simple, isn't it? Just be nice. And that's the advice to all couples who are having trouble. Just be nice to each other. But seriously, you know, if we want to have a better relationship, we just got to start making excuses. Stop seeing the giant mess and just start with the small steps. Being nice. Don't be cruel. Forgive each other. Planting and being faithful and continuing to sow and to plant, because eventually, and thank God, Lloyd and I just continued to plant and to grow into our marriage what we wanted to see, and God has done an incredible work. We can stand and we can say we know God is faithful. We know God restores marriages because he restored our marriage, and that's what he's done. And he is so good and so faithful, but we have to sow and we have to kind of die to ourselves to bring about his plan. And that's the work that he does in our lives. We reap what we sow. So if we reap kindness, we will sow kindness. If we sow generosity, we will reap generosity. And I think it starts with giving when it hurts. I was thinking as I was preparing this morning, you know, a challenge, and it's a challenge to me too, but maybe we should try giving away something that's really dear to us, because we hold on to things. And I was thinking about kids, little kids. With Olivia, we will take her her clothes and her toys that she's grown out with, and we will hand that on to somebody else. And, you know, in her there's that, no, I need it, no, I need it. But I know that it will just sit in her room, it will get covered up by all kinds of different things, and she will never play with it. It's lost its value to her. But to another child, could pick that up, and it'd be like a brand new toy, such a gift. And so for us, it's learning to let go, and that's to the physical and also the gifts that God has given us, to give generously. We don't need to hold on to things. We can learn to give. It's continuing to be fruitful, but then enjoying the fruit in our lives and enjoying the good produce, focusing on God's faithfulness and his goodness and his provision, and remembering as well that God has created us to work in and tend to the garden. And there is a grace that is poured over our lives when we stay focused on our patch and work it to the best of our ability. There's an incredible grace poured out, but it's enjoying the journey, isn't it? It's enjoying the journey and continuing to be fruitful. Number five is prune. And John 15, verse 1, Jesus says something very significant about pruning. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. And while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. And of course, that means that even what is living and growing and healthy in our lives needs to be cut back. What is the top, top? Not my arm. Needs to be cut back and pruned. And there are some things that are just weighing us down. So again, we need to ask ourselves the question, what am I doing that I'm not actually called to do? What do I need to lay down? And I do think that less is more. If we just do a few things really well, that's individually and as a church, if we just do a few things really well in my life. You know, there are times when I've done it in my own strength, and I've strived and I've tried to work it out myself, and it's been a very heavy burden. And if I wasn't careful, or if we are not careful, we can take what God has actually ordained, try to do it ourselves, it becomes a burden, and therefore we think we've got to lop it off. And so we need to be very wise and think, okay, well actually, perhaps I'm just doing this in my own strength and I'm not being spirit-led and spirit-fed, because it should be a joy. And even if there is much responsibility and there's loads of work to do, there is an incredible grace and joy that he pours out on us when we're doing what he's called us to do. So it's really examining and making sure we might be in the right place. We might just have the wrong attitude. We might be exactly where he's ordained for us to be, but we're trying to do it in our own strength. Or we've got this whole burden joy thing mixed up, because there is an incredible joy when we're doing what we're called to do. And as Jesus said, his yoke is easy, his burden is light. And the devil has a field day and has had a field day and will probably continue to have a field day convincing people that they shouldn't be serving him because they're too tired, it's taking up too much time, it doesn't fit well. But in actual fact, he's done really, really well, because the best thing that we can do is to serve God. And of course, that's going to take place in our marriage and our family as we go to work. But there is something very significant about being involved in church life and building the church, because this is his beautiful bride. It's got to look great. And hear me, I'm not saying it's got to look great. It does want to look pretty, but it's the inside. It's the garden of our soul. It's the soul of this church that he's so interested in. I mean, look at us. We're all pretty funny. When you put us all, we're all beautiful. But I mean, humans, if you really look at someone walking down the street, we're quite odd. And I mean, but God does something beautiful when he gets us together, and when we love him, there's this beautiful unity and blessing is poured out. And this is what he calls his bride. Wear it. And never rob him of the joy of seeing, you know, that call pursued and worked out in your life, because we've got an attitude issue. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Okay, number six, there's beauty everywhere. Seek it out. Living convinced of the goodness of God, joyful and confident. And I could go on with a whole lot of points, and I'm just not going to. But I wanted to share, over the past couple of weeks, 2 weeks actually, I've been privileged to attend 2 funerals with my mum. And really, I've gone with her as a support person. So the first funeral was for one of her really good friends who died very suddenly in her 60s of cancer. And it was very quick and left a lot of people in shock. And then the second was a memorial service yesterday that I went to. He was a relative, and I'd actually never met him, but he was in his 70s, and he had fallen off his boat down Lake Rohu, and he's diabetes, and he probably had maybe an epileptic fit and fell off his boat and drowned. And so there's 2 very shocking circumstances. But being at these 2 funerals, we had time with, I think, one lady. Ruth was a dancer, Mum's friend Ruth, and so she wanted people to experience Christ's love through dance and the healing power of Jesus through dance. And one lady got up to give a tribute and said, you know, it was just family. And her marriage had broken up, and she came in, and Ruth welcomed her in and into this family of dancers. And there was just such a healing that took place in her life. And I guess that was Ruth's ministry and that creative outpouring of God's love, and how supernatural that actually is. But one thing at Ruth's funeral was, because she was such an avid dancer and there are all these dancers there, they were incorporating some dance into the funeral. And I sat there and I thought, oh gosh, this is going to be very awkward. How does that work? How do you bring these 2 things together? But it was quite amazing, and I've got to say it's probably one of the most beautiful and touching things that I've ever seen. And what happened was her friends, all these dancers, got up, she was gone. And the psalmist invites us to live a life which leaves a lasting reputation. And I thought, you know, what Ruth has given out of her life, the life that she's lived, just, it left a legacy, a living legacy, not only on earth, but also in heaven. And most importantly, that is the legacy that we're called to leave, have a lasting reputation. He's talking about in heaven. We can do a whole lot of stuff on earth, but it's our heavenly reputation that we've got to be focused on. And I will forever have this picture of these dancers dancing around her coffin, celebrating her life, and the fact that she was still so much a part of it. It was just amazing. It was beautiful. In a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to take communion together. And of course, that's a great thing to do at the beginning of a new year, because it reminds us of God's to live as a new creation. So what we're going to do is we're going to take communion together, and then I have a clip. No, what we're going to do is this. Going to hand out, just hold on to your emblems. We've just got a clip that we're going to watch together, and then we're just going to pair up and pray for each other and take communion together. So that's the plan. So if I could just have the ushers come and hand out communion, and then once we've done that, we're just going to watch this clip together. And again, just know that God is, he's stirring a hope, and he's stirring a joy and a vision in our hearts this morning, and he wants us to leave this place just, I think, aware of his goodness and his plan. We'll just pray. Lord, we just thank you for your incredible grace, Father, for the plan that you have, Lord God, for the hope that you are stirring, for the fact that you are a giant-sized God, you know, and we have these problems which can take your place. They become the giant and you become tiny. But Lord God, this morning I pray for a realignment. I pray for fresh vision of just how big and mighty and sovereign you are, Lord God, and the actual size of our problem. Lord God, I pray for wisdom in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for an increase of faith in Jesus' name. Lord, that this would be a year where we step out more than we ever have, not foolishly. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And maybe you have had incredible breakthrough, or you've had this moment of revelation, but then it all just seems downhill from there. But I think God is saying to you this morning, you are being Spirit-led and Spirit-fed. Don't freak out. Relax. I'm growing your spirit. I'm making it firm. I'm creating you in you that beautiful life. And even in the wilderness times, especially in the wilderness time, God does something remarkable with our faith. So probably it's that you're going to step out in faith more than you ever have. So just trust God with that. He's doing something mighty. He's doing something amazing. But Lord, yeah, stir in us a faith that, will move mountains, Lord. God, have purposed for each one of us that we would be alive today, that we would be here right now, Lord God, because you want to use us, because you have work for us to do, you have a garden for us to tend, and we don't want to be sidetracked. We don't want to have a little slumber, a little rest, take our eye off what you've called us to do. Lord God, I pray that there would be a refocusing this morning in the name of Jesus, a reprioritizing in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that our vision would be heavenward, but we would be so about building your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Now what we're going to do, just keep the lights down, I think. Yeah, let's do that. Just going to peer out.